Hey there, this is Julie from Blended Life. Thank you for taking the time to download this episode of our podcast. I hope you find value in it. The truth is, though, sometimes you need more than a podcast can offer to get unstuck and find peace in your blended family life. The struggle is real. So this is a personal journey I've been on for years, seeking peace in circumstances and with people I can't control. Becoming Heard was born out of this quest. As a certified life and health coach, I am passionate about helping others just like you and me free themselves from chronic upset and chronic crisis mode. Right now, I'm offering Blended Life listeners a one-on-one free breakthrough session with me. This call will give you clarity to see if coaching is right for you. Take advantage of this opportunity now by emailing me at becomingheardnow@gmail.com. I can't wait to connect with you.
Hey everyone, I'm Eric. This is my wife, Julie. We are The Blended Life.
Hi, welcome everyone. Today we're answering your questions that you've written in about. We're going to be discussing peace, because that's a universal topic. And we're also going to be giving ideas on how to connect with others in your blended family. So listen to the end. You'll find some rich nuggets there.
Welcome back. Today we're going to be answering some of your questions, right?
Yep.
You want me to answer some of your questions?
Like what?
I don't know. Like what I had for lunch today.
What did you have for lunch today?
What do you think I had for lunch today?
Sandwich, pizza, tacos.
Pizza.
You had pizza for lunch. You had pizza for breakfast, I thought.
It was brunch. What did you have for lunch?
Sandwich.
Did you?
Yeah.
Gosh.
And some strawberries with some whipped cream.
All right. You're making me hungry. It's dinner time now.
I know. We better get through this so we can get to dinner.
All right.
Okay. So I love these episodes because we get to answer our listeners' questions and what's going on in their lives. So we do this once a month. If you guys have a question or a situation you want to hear us talk about or just bring up, email us, message us, comment below. If you're watching us on YouTube, we would love to be able to speak into your lives as best as we can. We're not experts.
Well,
I mean, I say that.
Yeah, you're like totally certified and
life coaching.
And have your master's in this stuff. Like, come on.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, we're living this like you guys, and we are figuring. We didn't get a blended family handbook when we got married. I wish, you know, that was given to us.
Do you have one?
No.
Oh well, ain't nothing to give out.
I know. Okay, so let's dive in. The first question is surrounding extracurricular activities for the kids. So this person writes in and wants to know how to find peace regarding the other bio parent pushing all the extracurricular activities.
Right.
This bio parent signs up the child for every sport camp that they possibly can without ever asking.
Mm.
We have told them it's too much to spend 4 to 5 days a week at some practice game drill camp, and we wouldn't be able to make it every night as we have 4 other children and full-time jobs between us and our home. And they say that the other person doesn't work and lives with their parents, and they share 50-50 custody with the other bio parent.
Okay.
So the other
family's a little more flexible on this. The other parents has obviously more time.
The other parent has more time and maybe not connected in another relationship with other kids.
Yeah, they don't
involved.
Exactly. They don't have the blended family thing going on, and that's their main focus.
And it sounds like this other parent who's signing this child up has one child.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah. And so they write on, they go continue to say currently they're being guilt tripped that this child should be made the first priority.
Yeah, number one priority.
Yeah. Right. And it would devastate. You know, it would devastate her husband if he wasn't able to attend every practice or game.
Right.
So she recognizes that as well.
Right.
So
it's
then,
a hard place to be.
Yeah. So she says the boundary we currently have set is that we will go attend our parenting days and can't make it on her parenting days.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
And she's not happy. So the bio mom is not happy with this and is now pushing this child to call on the phone to their father anytime. Yeah. Father misses practice or a game. And that's right. Just a tough place
I can
to be
see,
in.
Yeah, I can see exactly what's going on here, though.
Oh, explain to the audience what's going on.
Well, everyone can see it. Like, it's clear. Like, the kid's being used as a pawn, but in, like, a manipulative manner to where, you know, if you sign them up for all these things, like, yeah, we're doing good. We're doing good for our kid. But if you can't make them, you know, calling on the bio dad, then all of a sudden you're a villain. And I can use that against you with our child. To put him against you, to put or him or her, to put the child against you, you know. So there's a little bit of manipulation going on, from what it sounds like from this letter. The problem is, or I guess the solution is, it doesn't have to be this way. This is the bio mom doing this, who has obviously a much
a different lifestyle,
you know. Less demanding schedule probably than who's writing in. But that's all right, you know, and don't let yourself get guilt tripped into this. You know, if she's the one signing them up, she's the one doing this, just because it's your days, you know, try to make it. But if you guys have other times available and you can make it, make sure, you know, like, cool. Okay. I can make an extra day, or I can, you know, just because it's not your day. You know, I know on days that aren't your days, if you could make it to something, you would, right? If this was our situation and your kids were signed up for something, you know, say your daughter was playing basketball and it wasn't your day, but it wasn't a big deal, you'd totally show up, right?
You're 100%. Like, oh, cool. I can all
make
the
it.
Time.
I can make it, you know?
And it comes there. I mean, obviously you can't be at two places at once.
No,
so if
especially,
there's like,
well, especially with four kids. Yeah. You know, and so I think the conversation needs to be in your house. The power needs to be taken out of the bio mom's hands as far as this goes. And what you need to do is let all the kids know at the same time. Have a big family dinner, you, your husband, your four children. You know, if you can make this happen again, like blended families and getting this many people together in the same situation in the same room is always somewhat challenging, or can be. Get them all in, sit them down, and tell each one of them you are the most important and the most valuable. And if they realize, like, I am, and you are, you know what I mean? And you point that out to all of them, I think that it might hopefully click, and if it doesn't now, it will eventually. If they know they are the most important, and that's equal across the board, that sometimes that needs to be spread a little bit. And if you can bring the other kids to support the other children, you know, if everyone in the house can somehow support one another throughout the time, but you also give grace too, because you have four children in four different places. If they can also be like, well, we're not doing anything today. We're going to go support our brother or our sister, or we have something going today, so we're off the hook. We're going to go do something. And they see that there's some give and there's some get, you know, there's some push and there's some pull. Well, I think eventually, maybe not right now, maybe not right off the bat, eventually everyone's going to realize, well, A, I matter, and B, so does everyone else around me. And sometimes we show up and we try to show up as often as possible, but sometimes it's just not feasible. And it's a life lesson. It's something that they will grow into, and it's something that hopefully will serve them well. But this right here, this is a great time for learning for everyone in this family to really understand, like, relationships aren't just about me. Relationships are about showing up when you can, being there when you can, but also sometimes it doesn't always work out to my advantage.
Yeah. Really, really great advice. And I think, so when you were talking about everyone matters, I like the Kardashians. I know that's very polarizing. People love or hate them. I don't know, whatever.
Okay.
So Kris Jenner is the matriarch, the mom, the momager of all the Kardashian kids,
okay.
Right? She was the brains behind Keeping Up with the Kardashians. She's the reason any of her children have a career.
Right.
So she's a genius, actually. If you went about business, get to know Kris Jenner. Anyway,
you
but
your BFF.
No, she. Fuck yeah! I'm just kidding. No, but I mean, never like, I really respect her as a businesswoman.
I haven't had to use that in a long time.
I know. So, but it's funny because when I watched the Kardashians, and if you are a fan and you've seen it, you'll get what my reference here is she always tells every child on camera that they're her favorite child.
Yeah.
So like you'll see in an episode, she'll be like, "Oh, you're my favorite child," and then the other child's her favorite child, and they all joke about it, but she tells every child that they're her favorite child, and now it's like kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing,
yeah,
because they're all like, "Oh, your mom's favorite. Oh, your mom's favorite. Yeah. Oh, mom," and she just always says every child is her favorite.
Well,
child.
My mom doesn't do that to us, but we all joke that we're the favorite, you know, like, or you know, I'll point to my sisters and be like, "Well, you're the favorite," you know, or we call them the favorite, and they'll do the same thing to me. But at the end of the day,
you're talking about, right? Like everyone should feel like the favorite child.
Yep. And you should feel the importance, and you should have your children feel the importance, and not use this as a guilt trip situation. You use this as a learning situation to show them how important they are. You know, don't stop them from doing this stuff because it's on your days or not on your days. You know, this is a good thing that your kid is involved in so much, because a famous philosopher, by the name of Trudeau, used to once say, what did she once say?
My mom always raised me, I know you're going with this, my mom always raised me and has told me now that I'm a mom to always keep kids busy and broke, and they'll stay out of trouble. Yep. So I really took that to heart as a mom, and it's like, yeah, you keep your kids busy and their time accounted for, right? Because
they grow in these times too. You know, these sports activities, these community activities where they're around others, you know, usually at all sports, you know, kids aren't the number one at every single sport. They might be up there, you know, but they learn to grow. They learn to win. They learn to lose. They learn how to get along with others. They learn sportsmanship. So there's so many life lessons. Once I became an adult and I've been playing sports all my life, it really, like, stepping back, I'm like, wow, sports as a child isn't necessarily all about the sport, man. There's so much that comes out of this that helped me grow, you know, teaching relationship, teaching teamwork, teaching, you know, camaraderie. There's so much that comes out of this. And I think this for your child, if you are the listener who wrote in, like, this is a positive thing, but you have to make it a positive thing. Don't let the bio mom bring this negative light, you know, make sure that this stays a positive thing, because ultimately the kid's going to be doing all these, and hopefully they excel not just in the sport but in life, because this is just good, healthy activities.
Yeah. I want to speak to her question around how to find peace.
Okay.
Regarding this, right?
Because this is what you do. You're the health and life.
I want to help
Coach Julie.
Well, I want to help. I want to speak into that.
Okay.
You know, the first thing is I think we all listening can understand how frustrating it is when a co-parent makes decisions without your consideration, without checking in or asking if it's going to work in your schedule. They just make decisions.
Yeah,
without.
We've all dealt with this.
I think
at a point we've probably all done this too, because sometimes life gets going so fast. And there's been times where I've been like, ooh, I forgot to check in with bio mom, like my co-parent. Like, luckily we've got a pretty good giving, you know, relationship as far as this goes. But it's like, that can be tough too. A lot of times, you know, like, oh, today's sign up days and kid didn't give me the sign up sheet and I just found out and I have an hour to do this and I just did it, you know?
Yeah. So grace there, right?
Yeah.
I think to your point, and yes, we've all experienced it, and on some level I'm sure we've all made choices without considering the other person.
Right.
So I think that's where we can allow grace in, and I want to validate how frustrating that is for the person who wrote in.
Yeah.
We've all felt that. So you're in good company, you're not alone. And so how can you handle it? Because you can't control bio mom, right? Unless you have a court order, and even enforcing court orders is hard. No. Everyone raises their hand.
Yeah.
Good luck enforcing court orders. Right. So what can you do to find peace? The first thing that comes up for me when I think about peace is gratitude. You know, so one avenue to peace is to stop looking for what is wrong and what's bad. You know, where your attention goes, your energy flows. So if you want peaceful energy, you can't experience that when you're focused on the negativity, because all you're going to experience is upset and frustration. Whatever is wrong, if you look for it, you'll find it. So you're going to have to start finding gratitude. Gratitude that your stepchild has a mom who cares so much. Gratitude that your stepchild is able to have these experiences and be involved in all these things. It could be in his best interest. He could learn a lot doing this. Gratitude that your stepchild's out of your hair and this isn't something that you have to take on yourself. Gratitude, you know, keep whatever that could be for you. So if you can start being grateful instead of hateful in this situation, your experience will change from one of upset to peace. Now, it's really easy for me to say, sitting here in my podcast studio, because gratitude's a practice. It doesn't just happen because you want it. You actually have to practice it. Peace doesn't just come because you want it. You have to practice it. You have to be it. You have to implement tools in your life that promote it. So if you are a promoter of peace, then how you handle this is going to look different than if you're just upset and negative. Does that make sense?
It totally does. And I'm going to use this time to promote you, because this is what you do. I mean, this is becomingheard.com. So becomingheard@gmail.com. Get a hold of Julie. That wise little bit of information could be yours.
Yeah, with people on this.
Struggle in your life, and that's all blended families. That's everything under the sun, blended family, step-parent, co-parent, anything. You're an expert in this field. So if you guys want more information, or you're like, dang, I could really use a change in my life because this just isn't working, hit up Julie, becomingheard@gmail.com, or just go to her website, becomingheard.com, and sign up for a free breakthrough session at the time of this recording.
Yeah, thanks, Saul.
Of course.
Apparently the second
I'm a doll. You're more a like doll. A teddy bear.
I know. Are you a teddy bear?
I don't know. More than a doll. Like,
yeah. I don't know. I'll think about that later.
What would
in the
my doll name be? Don't all I dolls can't. Have like some like gimmicky catchy well, name?
Right now, I'm experiencing like a horror film.
Yes.
Yes. When I think of a doll, I think of, like, Chucky.
Chucky? Me?
I don't know.
It'd be the doll that kills things?
Yeah.
Interesting.
With humor.
With, yeah. Make them laugh to
death. You break people down with humor and make them cry in the corner.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Okay, the second thing I want to say into this when you're seeking peace, and what you can do with your children and your stepchild especially, is speak truth. Right? Why do we allow our children or stepchildren to believe lies about us? You can speak truth without being mean or negative about their other bio parent. So especially if it's truth about you and how you feel and what your limitations are, whether that's finances, whether that's time, whether that's, you know, you have four kids in your home and every kid deserves equal attention, you know, you can be honest and speak truth into all these children's lives about you and have it to do nothing with whatever, because what's the bias that's being spread is about you and against you and your husband and your family. And so just speaking truth over that and then having your actions match the truth that you speak is how you counteract this kind of guilt trip that's happening with the child.
Yeah, and you want the truth to be the actual truth. Like, if that's what you want it to be, don't be the detriment of your child's relationship with their other parent. Let let the other parent be the detriment if that's what it's destined to be.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, don't be the one that tells your child all of the negative things and talks down about the other parent.
Like, your mom's so controlling. She signs you up with things without even considering me and things like that.
Yeah, because what's that do to the kid? It does nothing positive for the kid. Like, yeah, maybe the kid goes, oh, maybe, but now we're on a bandwagon of hating my mom, and that doesn't feel good to the kid.
No, our kids don't. We have fallen short in this area before, and I can see where we have, like, pointed out the bio, our co-parents' shortcomings, or we've been, over time.
I'm really careful of that. I've been very much one of let the other parent be the detriment to themselves.
But we have, but it's not a perfect journey. Like, I know we both have done that, and I've seen how our kids react to when we point out
co-parents. Well, I think that's how we learn that, and it's like we quickly learn, like, that's not the way to do it. It doesn't help. And
because
I've seen,
the kids, like, shut down, they get defensive, they don't listen.
It's a waste of time. It just becomes an argument that no one feels good about.
That's right, because you don't win. They don't hear you. They're not going to attach to
Or they do, but they still don't attach to that, and now they feel conflicted. Now they feel stuck in the middle, and that's the worst thing that can happen to any of these kids. So, yeah, I mean, if we did used to do that, or if we have done that, I'm like, it's not a practice in our house. It definitely isn't.
It's not a practice. I just have noticed. I think I'm sensitive to it as a child of divorce.
You're sensitive, all right.
I'm sensitive. But I think I notice it because I'm a child of divorce, and so both of my parents.
And you're an only child.
And I'm an only child.
Still are.
Yep.
Very much an only child.
I can't change that.
Oh, I know.
So I'm not sorry because I can't change
it.
No,
I don't ask you to be sorry. Don't ever ask
and
her
I
to
can't
be sorry
change.
To you guys.
No, but I'm just saying I think that it's hard to be that. To your point, like that conflicted child where you have mom in one ear, you have dad in another, and of course their stories do not align because mom and dad have differing opinions. If they didn't, they'd probably still be together. Like it makes, you know, but it's a hard spot because children want to love both parents. Children want to see the good in both parents. So, all right. And then wrapping this up, a paradigm I hold for everyone in our home, including the kids, and actually our co-parents as
well. How about the dogs? The dogs included in this?
No. So a paradigm I would say to attach yourself to and hold for people in your home too that will help bring peace is that everyone's doing the best they can with what they've got.
Definitely dogs are included in this.
So this means you, right? You're doing the best you can with what you got. Your husband is, your children are, your stepchild is, and even the co-parent, right? Her situation is very different than yours. Her upbringing is very different than yours. You don't know what's her current life. You're not in her home. You are not at her job if she has one. You don't know her innermost struggles. So I think that taking all things considered, if we can just understand that even though it's different and even though we don't agree with it and even though we might not like it, that everyone is doing the best they can with what they've got. And so you do just have to hold boundaries, which you have so eloquently stated in what you wrote in that you have a boundary in place. And so the peace journey is then just leaning into that. You don't have to agree with it to be at peace about it. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Okay, moving on. Next listener's question.
Are you gonna drum roll it or what?
Yeah. How to get adult children to clean up after themselves? This is what this person wants to know.
I spent an hour this afternoon. I mean, I guess my child's not an adult child. I feel like he is sometimes. He's 16, but I spent an hour pressure washing our driveway, pressure washing the mud off of our driveway that came off of his truck because he went off roading in like dirty, muddy, sticky fields and. It's been in our driveway for like a month now, maybe two. And I washed my truck last night. And as I'm trying to get in my truck to clean the inside, I'm like, I'm tracking mud everywhere and my head about exploded. So after a while, you just do things yourself.
Huh. Okay. So yeah, this person wants to know about not leaving pile of clothes or shoes in common areas. And then this person also points out that if you say anything to this adult child about it, like, hey, pick up this or whatever, or like whatever, she throws a fit and starts crying and screaming.
Really? That's gnarly. I mean, I know it's no laughing matter. It seems like something that sister would have done as an adult child, but
here's what is comical to me about this. It's like parents reap what they sow.
Right.
Like genuinely.
Right.
If you want respect, now, you have to start sowing those seeds like when they're babies.
Now a stepmom in this situation might not have been there for all of this kid's upbringing, and now she's in the thick of it, and she's like, damn.
Well,
this
here's
is gnarly.
Correct. And what I want to say about that, and this is a thing I think step parents misplace their frustration and anger on a stepchild when it's not where it's at.
Right.
Like, you know, this is why I'm saying this, is because your children are a product of their upbringing.
Right.
Okay. And so if they weren't taught or disciplined or weren't learned to keep a tidy space or to respect a common area in a home, if that wasn't what they were raised with, then that is not the child's fault. That's the parent's fault.
So
and I just think step-parents need to understand that, because step-kids are a really easy scapegoat for step-parents.
I'm like 16 years in, though, with this kid. I'm going back to me on this one. And I'm like, tidy space, cleaning things, you know, and I bitch and complain about it every day. I'm like, him and I get into arguments about it, like, clean up your room, and it doesn't happen. Do this, doesn't happen. And sometimes I just get so overwhelmed. Sometimes he'll do it, and he'll just surprise me. I mean, yesterday he helped me wash my truck, and I was very grateful for that. But he still didn't do the driveway. that was frustrating. But I think also, too, well, this being an adult child, you know, I was going to say some things come as maturity. My parents used to complain and cry and make me cry as a kid, and I never wanted to clean things. And then as I became an adult and started learning, like, hey, I'm way more organized and way more happier when stuff is clean. Like, okay, you start to realize that. So I think having talks with your kid is a good situation. Now, it sounds like this adult child lives under the roof of the writer inner, right?
It's what it sounds like. I read exactly what I have. That's all the information
I
have.
It was a short little paragraph, but this sounds like something that it's like, okay, well, you're an adult, my house, my rules, you want to live here, here's some expectations, and start. I mean, it's late, but better now than never, right? And it's time to lay down the law and put some rules into place. And if these rules aren't met, then you'll be met with an eviction notice.
But step-parents can't put rules in place if they're not enforced by the bio parent.
That's yes, but no. But this is an adult, so at this point...
Well, okay, no. Let's play this out. Stepmom puts a rule down for a stepchild.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Bio parent doesn't agree with rule.
Okay, well then...
bio parent and step parent, their marriage is on the rocks, because now we're fighting about this. Like, this isn't okay. And bio parent's like, well, you enforce it. Like, good luck. Like, I don't agree with this. But step parent's like, I'm kicking her out.
Okay.
And bio parent's like, you're not kicking my kid out.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Then we're going to have a lot of turmoil in our house. We're going to have a lot of issues, because if your kid can't get on the page.
Sounds great.
Well, none of this sounds great, right? I mean, really? Like, well, what's your perfect solution then?
No, I'm just, I am saying that this isn't solved. Unless step parent has backing of bio parent.
Right.
And I don't care what age the kid is.
Right.
Having any sort of implementation of like rules or boundaries or respect or whatever, good luck.
Yeah, I'm thinking to our situation, like, if we get to a point where, you know, full-grown kids aren't respecting things in the house, like, we're not going to be in good situations. If my kid becomes an adult child and is disrespecting things in the house, I know you're going to lay down the law. And if I'm not on board, like, we're not going to have a happy home. You know, and vice versa, if this goes the opposite way. So what's the commonality here? You printed these out. You better have a solution for us.
I have a solution.
You do?
No, I think that to get children to clean up after themselves, I think the expectation of change, this is why I started off with saying, like, they're a product of how they were brought up. So if this is whatever has been allowed is what's going to continue. And it's a really, really tough thing to change adult children, because what do we know about change?
Here's what you do then.
Change. People don't change unless they want to, yeah, right?
Okay. Well, so, my house, my rules, like maybe we need to go extreme then, because if you haven't learned this by now and all of this stuff is here, like maybe we start throwing things away. Like, sorry, this is my house and I'm not all right with this. You're not doing anything about it, so I'm going to do something about it.
Now that's genius, right?
Yeah. And we're just going to start, this is out, it's in my way. It's left on the counter. Like, I'm assuming this isn't the right place for it. You were just too lazy to make it all the way to the trash can. I went ahead and took care of it for you. Now it's out there and it's only Tuesday and the trash doesn't come till Thursday. So you've got time to go get it out and put it in the right place. But if it doesn't get put in the right place, like, Mr. Trashman's going to go ahead and just take care of it for you.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, sometimes you just got to get crafty.
Yeah, you're very good at thinking outside the box of things like this. I like that, right? And it's, you know, is she's learned that. So what I read when I read this, and it's said that this adult child throws fits,
right,
cries and screams.
Right.
I'm like, who sits around and listens to that? If an adult child threw a fit and cried and screamed, like, I don't. Right. I mean, that's been allowed to control.
Right.
They learned on some and level that controls, yeah, like, an outcome, right?
Right?
So right off the bat, we no longer kowtow to crying, screaming, or fits. Like, that's not going to work here. And you can tell an adult child who's crying, like, your tears have no power.
Right.
In this situation,
well,
right?
Well, like, I mean, if you think about it, like, you can get crafty with a lot of things.
Give,
like,
our audience wants to know all this. I do, too.
Well, I don't know. I mean, okay, so if you've got an adult child living at home and they're not helping out and they're not doing, say, chores that are supposed to be there, I don't know. Like, take power away from them. Every utility box, I mean, at least here in California, our external utility boxes, has a breaker for a room. You know, go outside, go get yourself a small little padlock, go outside, turn off their breaker for their power in their room, and then padlock the breaker shut, the utility box shut.
Also, internet, right? Because you can control.
I have the power.
He has the power of internet.
He-Man.
You could turn off my internet at any time.
I can. And there's been times where I'm like, I'm pretty sure our kids are Bitcoin mining in our house because our internet is, we have the highest internet package that you can possibly get with the highest bitrate packages. And I'm like, you could watch a snail take a turd on this and it would look fast. You know what I mean? So there's been times where I'm like, I'm working from the house and I'm like, sorry, you guys, internet's going down for every one of you because I can see all 16 of your individual devices running right now. I'm turning them all off. I'm doing my work and it'll be back on in 45 minutes because I don't have 6 hours to wait to upload 10 photos.
Yeah.
You know, didn't it at one point in time say 16 days or something like that? No.
Wild.
I got to years. I got to 2 years for me to upload like 130 photos or something like that. And I'm like, my clients don't have 2 years until this goes, you know what I mean? And I turned off everyone's internet. I uploaded in like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I turned it back on.
Yeah.
But getting off subject here.
No, it's good though because
I mean, you can get a router that has a passcode for individual. Like, I can go through and specifically turn off every single device individually in our house.
And also, you can change passwords daily. So to get today's internet password, the house better be picked up, right?
Yep. Like, otherwise,
you don't get the password today for internet.
So if you guys need information on like what type of equipment it takes for something like this, super easy, or just run out to like your Fry's or Best Buy or something like that. And it's not like an uncommon thing to be able to do.
Yeah, so good. Yeah. And that's like the theme of what you're saying about getting crafty is you have to think about whatever parental role in your home you have, whether it's bio parent or step parent, you think about what you have control over.
Right.
So say it's like grocery shopping.
Yeah.
Say it's just grocery shopping.
We've talked about this before. You stop buying the stuff that they like until they've earned it back.
Yeah. You know, or laundry or gas in a car or use of a car.
Or laundry soap or, you know, there's so many little things that are so many perks to these kids and these adult children.
I remember once, I think it was my first husband, actually. He was telling me a story about he had his first roommate, and his first roommate was a slob. And so he was so fed up because he was a clean freak. And he asked to clean up after yourself. They had all these conversations. So what he did was it was someone who did this. I don't know. I've been married so many times, I can't keep track.
Right.
It's just funny. No, but so this is an interesting thing. He got rid of all the dishes, mm-hmm. and he kept one dish, one bowl,
one fork, one set,
and that was it. And then that was all you had. So you had to eat off of it again. You had to clean it,
yep.
type of a thing. So even like thinking like that, like if a kid refuses to do dishes, maybe you go drastic and they don't have access to any dish.
Yeah,
but
you go extreme. Like all your food ends up being eaten, you know, the day after you grocery shop.
All the milk is gone.
Yeah.
Dang it.
Okay, cool. Well, we're going to start locking it up. You don't write your name on things. That's stupid.
Well, and you don't get any more till the next time grocery shopping.
No, but
there's
you need to start hiding things and locking things up. Again, it's creative measures. It's not normal measures. I'm not trying to make this a normal thing. It's life lessons that go, oh, a light bulb went off. Like, maybe they aren't stoked on this.
Yeah. So I think you just have to kind of think outside the box, especially with adults. I mean, people don't change unless they want to. And so I think also maybe coming up with an exit strategy, you know, coming alongside this adult child and because obviously they're not going to like your pushback. They're not going to like your boundaries. They're not going to like your rules. They're not going to like these creative solutions. So I think it's totally appropriate to sit down with an adult child and be like, let's come up with an exit plan. Whether that's a year, 2 years, 5 years, 6 months, tomorrow, what do you need in place to be able to live on your own?
Well, and let them know. It's not because I want you out of here because I hate you. I mean, you might secretly.
I mean, everyone secretly says that to them.
Don't say that. But let them know, because I think later this is going to help our relationship. I want our relationship to thrive and stay healthy. And by you living your best life, that's going to allow us to have our best relationship.
Yeah. And so I think coming up with an exit plan, you know, how much do you need to make to find a place to live? What job can you get? What do you need in savings?
What can we do to help you? What does it look like to build your credit? You know, if you guys are listening right now, you can start building your children's credit at 13 years old. My son has had credit since 13 years old. When he turns 18, he's going to have somewhere between a 720 and 800 credit score, you know, which is unheard of for children. So again, if that's something you're like, dang, I'm interested in something like that, how do I start setting my kids up for success? Write into us. I don't care what platform it's on. It can be Instagram, it can be Facebook, it can be right here on YouTube. Get a hold of us and we'll give you some ideas. If there's enough of you that want ideas, we can do an episode or two on this, like what it looks like to set up your kids for financial success. And there's a lot of tricks to that that is actually kind of fun. And while going about this, might help you along the way too. You know, whether you're a pro at finances or you're like, man, my finances are screwed. There's no way I can help my kids. Well, it might help you get on track too. So something we could offer.
I love that. And also, I was thinking about this, like when you're excited about your kids' future, it helps them get excited too, or your stepchildren. So if you're sitting there like, maybe it is future planning and it is like future pacing and getting excited about what their future is, then they're going to be more motivated to want to like move out and to, you know, because I think the goal of all of us is to create humans and raise humans that can go be successful, independent, thriving, like adults who contribute to our society in a positive way. And so I think also start looking towards the future and trying to get a plan of exit.
Yeah.
Might be a good thing. Okay, last one. This one's really, really interesting and it's a little lengthy, so bear with me.
Story time.
The end of the question is how can I connect with my 18-year-old stepdaughter?
Okay.
That's the question.
Okay.
And the background is is that her husband brings over his two daughters, two of his daughters, once a month.
Okay.
So once a month, she gets to see them.
Do we know how old they are?
Yes. 25 and 18.
Okay. So adult children.
Yep. And she's got, so there's a ton of kids, but we're just going to talk about those two. So he brings his girls over once a month. Oh, he's got three daughters, 25, 18, and 10.
Okay.
Okay. So he brings his girls over once a month, and it's difficult. So I'm going to read as if I'm her.
Okay.
Okay. It's difficult for me to connect with them. His daughters think I am the reason for their parents getting divorced. He took them back home, and when he came back, he was very upset.
Okay.
He told me that I don't make eye contact, nor that I don't start conversations with them either.
Okay.
And she says, well, I do say good morning to them, and I acknowledge them when they were in the car.
Yeah.
And then she tried to invite them to a function, and that didn't go anywhere. She says, when I try to talk to the 18-year-old and make conversation, I get very short answers, and she turns away so that I don't see her face.
Okay.
She really avoids me. This makes me feel so uncomfortable and out of place because I just don't know how else to connect with her. I told my significant other that we should have an icebreaker with his girls and him and I. He doesn't like this idea, but feels like I need, but I feel like I need that, especially with the 18-year-old because she clearly doesn't like me.
Yeah.
I have told my significant other, about her behavior, and he continues to say that I have to keep reaching out and keep trying because I'm the adult. I'm getting pretty tired of this. My kids are completely the opposite with him. They joke around, they talk, they hang out, they make plans without me at times.
Probably much younger kids though, right? Do we have ages?
Yeah. So her kids are 21, 19, 12.
Mm, interesting. So actually very similar ages.
It's very similar ages.
Okay.
So she says it's definitely not the same with his daughters and me and, you know, today we had a conversation and he said that he will no longer bring his daughters over because according to him, I continue to not be connecting with him, with them in conversations. Yeah. I explained to him, it's so difficult to read them and to be able to connect specifically when I ask anything and then get very short answers in return with no opening to continue a conversation.
Yeah.
I need advice. When he said he will no longer bring them over, to me that was a step in our relationship going a different direction.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
So she wants to know how can she connect with this 18-year-old stepdaughter.
Well, it's hard, but I also think that this is something that's completely out of your hands. I think that this is, you know, this is something that you need to give time. And he made a step, and I agree, that's kind of in the wrong direction. But it's one of those things, like, you need to go on living your best life. You need to go on doing you, not dwelling on this, because it sounds like this is something that his daughters have an issue with. This isn't your issue. Might not even be his issue, but it doesn't sound like he's helping the issue. But don't let that, again, don't let that be a detriment to your relationship. Your relationship is you and him, not you and him and his kids. His kids are just part of that, right?
Do you think by him not bringing his daughters over, I should mention they have a child together.
Yeah.
They have a 2-year-old together.
That's a bummer, but that's his call. That's not.
But do you think that him doing that is him backing away from the relationship? Like, do you think that
him and her?
Yeah. So him not wanting his daughters to come over. Mm-hmm. Do you think that is him 1 foot out with the woman who's writing in about this?
No, not necessarily. I think that's his way of protesting this and him feeling stuck in the middle, even though deep down he probably realizes, like, this is more my kids than you. And if I were you, which I'm not, but if I were you, I would control you a little bit differently and I would act a little bit differently. But again, that's not you. I mean, there's things that Julie could do differently in a relationship with my child. There's things I could do differently in a relationship with her child. But ultimately, our relationships, all relationships, aren't one-sided. And that's what people need to understand, is that if you're doing your best, that's all you can give. You know, now, if you want to take it a step further and you're like, I really want this to work and I don't know how this can work, I need to change myself, and you're willing to change yourself for the betterment of all of these relationships. Now, again, to tout Julie, becomingheardnow@gmail.com. Get a hold of her, and she is someone who could help you transform to make this a much better relationship. But that's you having to put yourself aside and do this for the betterment of everyone. Now, if it's not, what I would say is lay it down for a while. Let them, 18 to 25 years old, I mean, I can remember when I was 18 to 25 years old, I might as well have been an adolescent child, because I didn't think completely clearly for myself. I wasn't done growing up. I didn't have the maturity and the clarity that I do now. So it might be something that you just need to give time. Some people, I can think of a handful of people, sometimes they just never come around. And again, that's not your fault. That's just who they are, and that's just how they've grown up and the things that they believe. But I ultimately think that if you really care about this, get a hold of Julie. Just go to becomingheard.com.
Thanks. Yeah. I think a hard reality, a hard pill to swallow, especially in blended families where the ideal and the hope is that kumbaya, we all get along.
Yeah.
That's the ideal. And very rarely happens. And so I think that it's perfectly normal and natural for people not to want a relationship with their step-parent, or not want a relationship with their step-sibling. And they don't want, I mean, I even know siblings, bio-siblings, who grow up and decide, I don't want a relationship
right
with my sibling. Right. I know parents and children, including myself, I don't have a relationship with my biological father right now, and he's my biological father. So I think that the reality of life is that you can't control if people want to be in relationship with you or not. And so I hope the bio dad hears this, because, you know, you can't control if your 18-year-old daughter wants a relationship with your significant other, no matter what your significant other does. And so I think being a safe place to have those conversations with your biological children, like, hey, are you interested in having a relationship with so-and-so? And just kind of seeing where they're at. And I think it's perfectly appropriate, too, for step-parents to check in with their stepchildren, if you can handle that. I mean, a lot of step-parents can't handle that honest conversation. But I think that it's a normal, natural thing for not everyone to want and desire, especially adult children, relationships like we would hope they would want to desire them. So you have to kind of accept that and just continue, like Eric said, living your best life, being true to who you are, being true to your morals and values and who you want to be. As long as that's who you're showing up as always, that's the best that you can do. And everyone's just going to have to accept that. You know, and
Yeah, and the hard thing, too, is that I don't think we've really acknowledged so much, is she's feeling like the victim in this. Like, she's feeling like a villain in this. Like, the daughters don't like her.
The step.
Who wrote in.
Mom, yeah.
The daughters don't like her. They're not connecting with her. It's causing her husband to have issues with her. And at the end of the day, she's feeling beat down. She's feeling like, no one likes me. What the hell am I doing here? This sucks, you know, like, it's a true feeling.
I think everyone's probably feeling that.
Yeah.
You know, in this situation.
Well, and then I was going to say, but the thing is, I think that your husband is stuck in the middle also, because he needs your love and wants your support, but he's going about this the wrong way, not because he wants to, but because he doesn't understand another way to. And this also, I mean, let's just say it again, becomingheard@gmail.com. This might be a great situation. Now I don't, maybe he wants to completely change the situation and rule over all this. And he's like, I'm going to change who I am because I'm going to change everyone around me. And
Well, I think a lot of times too, it's intolerable to be in the middle. Like I know you and I can both relate to right. that as a yep. bio parent. It's Daily. Intolerable to be in the middle. So what do? We alter the experience. And so I think that's what he's doing. Well, he's like, this is intolerable. So yeah. I'm not bringing them over anymore.
Right.
That's like an overreaction, well, and which we've all done yeah. or, you know, we get right. there. And it's just a way to alter the experience, alter the circumstance, because it feels intolerable to just deal with the being in the middle of this every time and nothing changes. It's discouraging.
We let everyone else, it be everyone else's fault. Now, I'm not saying it's his fault. I'm not even saying it's the daughter's fault or it's your fault. It's kind of everyone's fault. And it's because no one truly knows how to deal with this. No one truly knows how to handle their situations.
And no one's willing to accept.
Yeah, or change. You know? If one dynamic of this was willing to change, I think it would help.
The whole thing would change. Yeah. For sure.
For sure.
That is the power you have. That's it. Right? When you show up differently, this is what, if you are on a breakthrough call with me, this is what you're going to hear me tell you. Your power is when you show up differently. Your relationships are forced to shift. You can't show up differently and have things remain the same.
And this is why I keep touting you in this episode is because that's exactly what it takes to change people around you, is it takes changing yourself. Now, if you're listening to this, you're probably the only one that's listening to this. And so it's kind of up to you to really change, unless even bringing this to someone else and saying, hey, you need to change and I'm going to pay for this for you. And you're going to talk to my girl, Julie, and she's going to change you. Like, they have to be willing to do it. So if you're taking the time and you've made it already, you know, 50 minutes into this podcast, you have what it takes. You have put in at least 50 minutes, you know, towards changing, because you care enough about this. So if you're listening to this, whether you wrote in or you're just a normal listener, this might be for you.
Yeah.
becominghurtnow@gmail.com.
All right. I love that. And I know I can help
everyone.
Everyone-ish. What I want to do, though, is I want to give her ideas. I want to end our podcast with some ideas. If you want to connect with anyone, how might I connect with a stepchild, 18, 12, whatever? So the first thing, and you'll be, some of this is what you've said. Mm-hmm. One way to connect is just to stay curious about them, learn about them, ask questions, ask open-ended questions. Even if you don't, you know, they don't respond with a lengthy sentence or a paragraph, get to know them, be interested, show interest and consistency. Like, you're playing the long game. You're playing the long game here. So just because you asked a question once or twice or 10 times or 100 times, still, that's the short game. So consistently being curious about your stepchild will foster connection. Another thing is have fun. Have activities planned that are just fun. So if they come over once a month, what is something that you all can engage in that's fun? Throwing a ball back and forth, going and playing miniature golf, going bowling, playing a game of cards. Maybe it's cooking dinner or baking. Whatever it is, have a fun activity that you guys can all engage in together. And it's it's mandatory. So dad needs to be in on it, and dad needs to be like, yeah, this is what we're doing. And kids don't always know they're going to have fun until they're in it. So they're probably going to not think it's fun, and they're going to think it's lame. And then halfway through the activity, they're having fun. So I think it is something that you're like, this is what we're doing, and we're going to have fun.
Yeah.
Get interested in something that they're interested in. You've always said this. Yep. So if you want to connect with someone, figure out what they're interested in. And this is on any level.
And
I don't care if it's
where they're at. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't care if it's in a marriage or friendship or with your child or stepchild. Pick something that they're interested in and learn about it. See if it's something that you can be interested in. And even better, ask them to teach you about it. Right? I mean, teach me how to bowl. These are a few ways that you can connect or explore a connection. I like that better because, like we said, relationships aren't one-sided. It takes two people to want to be in a relationship. But if you want to start fostering connection and exploring connection, then these are some ways that you can go do that with your stepchild, with this 18-year-old.
I love it. Yeah. So if you guys need more information on any of this, feel free to comment below, write into us, again, becominghernow@gmail.com. But follow us on all the socials. Find us on Instagram. Find us on Facebook. We have a wonderful Facebook group that Julie leads that has so many people that all chime in. And it's just
it's
a support
group.
It's a supportive community. Yeah. So if you guys want to be a part of that, find us on Facebook.
It's called Blended Life Support Group.
There it is. All right, you guys. Well, thank you so much for being here with us. We always appreciate you being a part of our family, helping us grow, stay together, and break that 70% failure rate in our blended families.
Yeah, and if you guys have a question you'd like to be featured on our podcast, again, write in and we will consider it for next month. Thank you so much for every listen that you give, for every like that you give, for every moment you give us. We are truly grateful for you guys.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Julie again. I hope this episode of Blended Life started a conversation that you will finish in your home. But I get it, right? Sometimes you need more. My offer still stands. If I can interest you in a free one-on-one breakthrough session with me to see if coaching is right for you, contact me now at becominghernow@gmail.com and let's get you unstuck. becominghernow@gmail.com. I look forward to it.